Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 29, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
All right, we have one announcement before we get started. It's a blessing. The evangelism team will be not going this Saturday to Child Haven, but the following Saturday. So not Saturday, November 2nd, but Saturday, November 9th. That gives you one more week to pray. That's the blessing. One more week to pray, and that God would prepare the hearts of all the children and all the staff and draw by his hand of grace the ones that are supposed to be there. Pray for our evangelism team that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately. And pray that God might use this to his honor, to his glory, to bring many sons into glory. So it's going to be moved from this Saturday to November, Saturday, November 9th, 1 week later. All right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We are in a paragraph that's totally unique to the word of God. Totally unique. You'll never see anything like this anywhere else in the Word of God. And it's possible because of the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, with a spiritually mature believer who happened to be a genius. And God, the Holy Spirit, could take that genius of spiritually mature believer Paul and communicates 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. Totally phenomenal. And we are just getting started in it. We won't complete it tonight, but maybe in the next year or two. We'll probably, just kidding. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. There's nothing like this in the Word of God. In this paragraph, we have three demonstrations of the ministry of the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer, in full-time Christian service. Now, we're all in full-time Christian service. And as you fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as you attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, that's when the full-time Christian service will have maximum benefit and glorify God to the maximum. So here is a paragraph of three demonstrations of the ministry of the winner believer in full-time Christian service. The Apostle Paul gives three demonstrations of the winner believer's ministry with three series of nines. Category one is suffering for blessing, which is given only to the winner believer. Only the winner believer is qualified for suffering for blessing. Now, generally, in the Word of God, there are two categories of suffering. There is suffering for discipline, punitive suffering, and there is suffering for blessing, undeserved suffering for blessing, as a part of the greater grace blessing package that God has for the winner believer. Well, what we have here is that undeserved suffering for blessing that only comes to the winner believer. Only the winner believer is qualified to receive this. And when you reach that point of spiritual adulthood where God can give you this special blessing package, what an honor. What an honor for you to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. Only the winner believer. So that's 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5. And that sounds like this in the corrected translation. We have exegeted that. Rather, in every way, we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God by means of courageous endurance and perseverance, and then in the sphere of afflictions, in calamities, in distresses and troubles, in beatings, in imprisonments, in riots, that is political persecution, in hard work to the point of total exhaustion, in sleepless nights, and in hunger. So that's the first category. Category number one, undeserved suffering for blessing given to the winner believer with courageous endurance and perseverance. Category number two, we just barely got started. There are nine categories within this. We've seen one. Category number two, nine characteristics that mark the winner believer out as having attained virtue love. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 6 and 7, and we just barely got started in that. And then the third category, in closing this description of the ministry of the winner believer, we have nine paradoxes, which are all to be seen, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 8 through 10. So we have exegeted and studied 2 Corinthians 6, 4 and 5, suffering for blessing given to the winner believer. Now this is going to be amplified in more detail when we get to 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. We looked at that last time. We will save it for when we get there in chapter 11. Very special. All of these nine categories in 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 5 are categories of suffering for blessing given to the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer. Suffering for blessing is part of the greater grace blessing package that God gives to those who have attained spiritual maturity. They are designed by God to show the world, both angels and man, the virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The winner believer loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ has made himself at home in the winner believer's heart, And therefore, the winner believer has maximum personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. This invisible God, in living in the heart of the winner believer, making himself at home in the heart of the winner believer, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ results in great visible impact to the world, both to angels and to man. Great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ motivates great functional virtue to the world, impersonal love for all mankind. Now that brought us to category number two, and the nine characteristics of virtue love in the soul of the winner believer. This is 2 Corinthians 6, verses 6 and 7. We just got started. We saw the first one. There are nine. All of these nine characteristics are demonstrating virtue love and the various characteristics that make up virtue love. Everything here is related in these nine. Every one of these are related to the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And we saw number one, characteristic number one, and we switched from N plus a dative of sphere in the first nine in verses 4 and 5 to the N plus the dative of means, and it should be translated in this group, by means of, and the first characteristic is hognotes. Doesn't sound very good, hognotes, H-A-G-N-O-S. Hognos. Well, it's hognos taste. I just... You got to have a sense of humor sometimes. I thought maybe you would like hognos instead of hognotes. Hognotes. Hognotes is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, both times by Paul, 2 Corinthians 6:6, 2 Corinthians 11:3. It comes from the verb hognizo. Comes from hognizo. Looks like that. In the Greek, H-A-G-N-I-Z, long O, hognizo. And hognizo is the verb that means to purify or to clean up something that is defiled and polluted. And the best verse that really explains exactly what that means is in Titus. So we saw this, but I want you to turn to Titus again, Titus 1:15, because this explains with one word here. Cognizo means to purify. It means to clean up something that is defiled and polluted. Now, what's defiled and polluted is what's going on in here. And for most of the believers, unfortunately, today in America, what's going on in here is defiled and polluted. Now, what is defiled and polluted? Well, Titus 1:15 tells us, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Now, that word, defile, what is that? Miaino. Miaino. M-I-A-I-N long O. Miaino is excrement. And that really, I think you get the picture. If I say polluted, you haven't got the picture. If I say defile, you really haven't got the picture. But the word here is meinod, excrement. Excrement in the mind, excrement in the conscience. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are meinod. Now, excrement, spiritual excrement in the soul. And this describes most believers, unfortunately, in America today. The winner believer has, in contrast to this, the winner believer has purified his heart, his soul, by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:22. And we saw that. I'll read the corrected translation of that in a minute here. This results in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all believers, because that's a part of 1 Peter 1:22. The last part of it says, therefore, fervently love one another from the heart. That's virtue love. That's impersonal love for all mankind. That's the result of 1 Peter 1:22, having the winner believer's soul purified by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. A purified soul, then, is a major characteristic of virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart. So hagnotes means purity of heart. As a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the believer accumulates garbage in his soul by living in Satan's cosmic system, living the carnal reversionistic life, by thinking human viewpoint garbage in contrast to divine viewpoint, and by thinking evil, and that evil includes the mental attitude sins that motivate sins of the tongue. This pollution of the soul, this meino in both the conscious and subconscious mind, is cleaned up by learning, believing, and applying the Word of God to your life, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And therefore, you must recognize that the Word of God, Bible doctrine, is absolutely essential for your soul in order to haul out all the garbage, to haul out all the meino. You must recognize that the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And there is nothing worse than a meinoed heart and soul. A polluted soul creates all kinds of problems in your life. So in James 4:8, the believer is commanded to purify his heart. And so how do you purify your heart and soul? How do you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart? By means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now here is the corrected, I taught Peter already. I'm not going to teach Peter again. 1 Peter 1:22. Because you have purified your soul in the past, with the result that your souls are pure now, in the present, that is, free from human viewpoint garbage, free from Satan's policy and evil, by means, how? By means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God, resulting in a genuine love for fellow believers. That phrase, genuine love, is a love that is without hypocrisy, an unhypocritical love, not phony, and therefore, love one another with impersonal love for all, eagerly, fervently, constantly, out from the source of the heart that has been purified by the Word of God that you have learned and believed and applied to your life. So that's the first characteristic. Now, all nine of these are looking at virtue, love, and various characteristics that relate to virtue, love. Here's the first one. By means of purity. Now that brings us to characteristic number two. We always start with the King James. It says, by knowledge. And this is the preposition and plus the dative singular of gnosis. And I say gnosis, you say, no, that's gnosis. Okay, well, I can't change what you are going to say. You're going to probably call it gnosis, no matter what, how it, you're not a Greek, and you're not even one that learned what the Greeks said. The leeks and the garlics. No, the Greeks never had any silent letters. There were no silent letters in Greek. So they never said gnosis. They said gnosis. So if you want to be accurate and like a good Greek, you would say gnosis. Okay, well, I know that won't last very long. Let's get a couple of points. By means of gnosis. See, I'll throw in and help you out. N plus the dative is the dative of means. By means of gnosis. One, gnosis literally means knowledge. Literally means knowledge. Two, gnosis is specifically used of Christian knowledge here. Three, it means knowledge of Bible doctrine. Sometimes it's used for categorical doctrine. It refers to the Word of God. So it's used here in this context with the Word of God, the knowledge of Bible doctrine, categorical doctrine. For first, you must assemble consistently and faithfully in a local church where sound Bible doctrine is taught, and that doesn't go on anymore in local churches. But anyway, for the few, the proud, the Marines, this is what needs to take place. You must assemble consistently and faithfully in a local church where sound Bible doctrine is taught. Five, then you must learn it, and then you must believe it. There's the problem. Then you must believe it. And we have people, they come in here, I know exactly. I hear what Pastor Olson is saying. I know what he's saying, and I don't believe it. Okay, fine. I can't make anyone believe anything. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to believe or not to believe. I am not here to make you believe anything. But I'll tell you this, you're too damn arrogant to ever be a winner believer. And somewhere along the line, you have to get humility, which is respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor teacher who teaches the Word of God. And without that, you're going nowhere. Nowhere. So I know I've been here about 150 years, evangelistically speaking. I've been here and I've seen people come, I've seen people go. And I've started several churches in Las Vegas that used to be people here. And if you don't like what's here, I'll send you over to those churches, sitting there for a while. But I'm not here to mess around. And I can't wait when we get to the next chapter. The next chapter, 7, that's even This is phenomenal. Chapter 7 is going to be very unique. Because you see, when Paul, who is he teaching? The believers in Corinth. And when he wrote 1 Corinthians, well, Paul, he recognized there were lots of Christians there, but they were in reversionism. They were living in Satan's cosmic system. They were, a lot of them, dying the sin unto death. They were going to church, living in Satan's cosmic system. They were going to church and having communion. And Paul says, some of you are weak, warning discipline. Some of you are sick, dying, intensive discipline. Some of you are dying. A lot of them died the sin unto death. They were living in reversionism, living in Satan's cosmic system. And Paul didn't want to see them crash and burn. Paul loved them with virtue love, and he loved them and taught them the Word of God. He taught them exactly what they needed to hear. And that meant he had to clobber them. And he did clobber them. And a lot of them didn't like Paul, didn't like what he had to say. Paul had to clobber them, hit them upside the head. And throughout 1 Corinthians, over and over again. Well, then after he taught that, now he's teaching, writing the second letter, 2 Corinthians. And but his number one student underneath him, it wasn't Timothy, his number one student underneath him was Titus. And he was talking with Titus, Titus, there might not be any more churches there that are wanting the grace and truth of the Word of God taught. Titus, I want you to go up. I want you to go up and to Corinth. I want you to meet with all the people there and the churches and then give me a report back. And Paul kind of thought they just said, no, we don't want to hear Paul anymore. We don't want any of this. We're sick and tired of him hitting us upside the head. So Titus went up and met with the people. And when he met with them, he made it clear. Everything that the Apostle Paul taught you in the first letter, you needed every bit of that. He did not want you to crash and burn. He did not want you to die all the sin unto death, which you were doing. He wanted to see you come to your senses and rebound, get back in fellowship with God, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wanted to see you become winner believers. Well, when they listened to Titus, they told Titus, we were 100% wrong in what the Apostle Paul wrote in that first letter. He was 100% right. He was right in everything he taught. He was right in telling us where we were failing. And we want you to go back and tell him. And Titus did. And when Titus went back and told Paul, they said, what you wrote and what you were so tough in that first letter, you were 100% right. And they want to thank you. Thank you, Paul, for your toughness, virtue, love, and communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God. And the churches go, yeah, we want to see Paul again. We're with Paul. We're with the Word of God and the grace and truth of the Word of God that he taught. And we needed everything he gave us in 1 Corinthians. Now we're looking forward to hearing his teaching again. So first you must assemble consistently and faithfully in a local church where sound Bible doctrine is taught. And then you must learn it. And then you must believe it. 6. Only Bible doctrine that is believed enters your heart. Only Bible doctrine that is believed enters your heart. 7. Only maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart develops virtue love and brings virtue love to completion in your heart. And that's the second characteristic. By means of purity, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Now, characteristic number 3. The King James says, by long suffering. And this is the preposition and plus the dative singular of makrothumia. What a great word, makrothumia. And plus the dative again, dative of means, by means of makrothumia. Remember, all of this 9 is looking at virtue love and characteristics of virtue love. Makrothumia. 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 All right, point 1, makrothumia is a compound word made up of makro, which is great, and thumia, which is heat. So 2, therefore, makrothumia literally means long heat or slow fuse. Long heat or slow fuse. That's the literal meaning of it. 3, makrothumia means patience. It means forbearance. Patience, forbearance. Putting up with the people that don't like you. Putting up with the people that hate you. Putting up with the people that malign you, slander you, who try to destroy you, but you have virtue love, impersonal love for all, and you have forbearance, you put up with that, fine. That's fine. I love you with impersonal love, I don't care whether you love me or I'm not here to have you love me, by the way. You're not coming in here to love me. All you have to have is respect. Respect, that's all. Respect, humility, respect for the authority of God, the Word of God, and the pastor who teaches it. So makrothumia is patience, point 4. Makrothumia is patience and forbearance directed toward others, especially those who are hostile to you, who don't like you, who hate you, who have no character and no integrity, who malign you, slander you, judge you. That's makrothumia. That's virtue love. That's impersonal love for all. Very, very important part. 5. Makrothumia is one of the characteristics of virtue love, especially impersonal love for all mankind. Impersonal love for all mankind. Six, in order for the believer to walk in a manner worthy of his election to privilege in union with Christ, he must have makrothumia. In order for the believer to walk in a manner worthy of his election to privilege in union with Christ, he must have makrothumia. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The Apostle Paul's writing this. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, command you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, into which calling you have been called, elected to privilege. And how do you do that? With all humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, and gentleness, mental attitude, grace, and with makrothumia, with patience, makrothumia. And then what is makrothumia, patience? Showing forbearance to one another in virtue love. Showing forbearance to one another in virtue love. 7. Makrothumia is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And therefore, it is directly related to virtue love. Makrothumia is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:22. We have a list here in Galatians 5:22 and 23, and the first word in the list is agape. A-G-A-P, long E, agape. Now, when you have a list in the Greek, the first word is the major category, and then all the words after that are characteristics of that first word. Agape is virtue love. So it starts out, and the first word is agape, virtue love. Verse 22, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, when you are living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is agape, virtue love. Now everything after that, in that list, is related to virtue love. Next is joy, happiness. That's a part of when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Happiness. Peace. A peace which transcends all human understanding. And then makrothumia, patience. That's the result of the filling of the Spirit. And this is what? It's a characteristic of agape, virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love, agape. And then what are the characteristics? Joy and peace and makrothumia, patience. And the next one will be we're on number 3. Number 4 is Christotes. And that's the next word in the fruit of the Spirit, kindness. That's Christotes. So I'll get them both in here. So we've got Galatians 5:22, we have characteristic number 3, makrothumia, and then characteristic number 4, Christotes. These are fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. What are the characteristics? Joy, happiness, peace, inner peace, patience, makrothumia, kindness, Christotes, and then generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. All of those are characteristics of agape, virtue, love in this list. So, makrothumia is a part of the fruit of the Spirit and therefore is related to virtue, love, Galatians 5:22. 8. Makrothumia is developed from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. The result of the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. And that's in Colossians. So turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the epinosis knowledge, the completed knowledge of His will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, maximum divine good production, growing in the epinosis knowledge of God, completed knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and makrothumia, forbearance. So makrothumia is developed from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Point 9. Makrothumia is bearing with one another and forgiving one another just as the Lord forgave you. Now all of you really, you love the fact that the Lord forgave you all of your failures and all of your flaws and all of your sins. You love it when the Lord forgave you. Now, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love brought in completion in your heart, then you have virtue, love, impersonal love for all, and forgive others. Forgive those that don't like you. Forgive those who hate you. Forgive those who malign you and slander you and try to destroy you. Forgive them. So makrothumia is bearing with one another and forgiving one another just as the Lord forgave you. So you're in Colossians. Just turn over to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, let's start at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Now you see that, clothe yourselves? That's the uniform of honor, the invisible uniform of honor. Clothe yourselves with the invisible uniform of honor, with compassion, kindness, Christotes, humility, respect for authority, gentleness, and makrothumia, patience. And what is that makrothumia, patience? Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So makrothumia is bearing with one another and forgiving one another just as the Lord forgave you. Now, we all love it when the Lord forgives us. When you grow up and to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, yeah, you'll have a other. You know, some of these people are believers. Some of the worst people for mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue are believers, not unbelievers. And they will, you'll have those people around you, and they will hate you, and they will despise you, and they will malign you, and they'll slander you. But in your mind, you just treat them with impersonal love for all. And you forgive as Christ forgave you. That is makrothumia. 10. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for makrothumia. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for macrothumia. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 15. It starts out, faithful is the word, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom Paul says, I am foremost of all. Paul says, I'm the worst sinner of all time. And yet, for this reason, I found mercy, grace in action, in order that in me, as the foremost of all sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect macrothumia, his perfect forbearance and patience, as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. So we have a role model. We have an example. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had macrothumia toward the worst sinner who ever lived. And he wound up becoming the greatest believer of all time, the Apostle Paul. 11. The winner believer with the uniform of honor. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. The winner believer with the uniform of honor, virtue, love, has great stability of soul. He has great stability of soul. That is, he remains steadfast and endures the undeserved suffering and unfair treatment or lack of virtue, lack of thoughtfulness of others. That is, he remains steadfast and endures the undeserved suffering and unfair treatment or lack of virtue and lack of thoughtfulness of others. So, now we have by means of purity, we know what that is now. By means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. By means of macrothumia, patience, forbearance. And then characteristic number 4, and we see these together lots and lots of times because they're both a part of virtue love. They're both a part of impersonal love for all. Kindness is the word. This is the preposition n plus the dative of Christotes. Once again, n plus the dative of means, by means of Christotes. C-H-R. Long E, S, T, O, T, long E, S, Christotes. All right, one, Christotes means, it means kindness, it means graciousness, it means generosity. When you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you're not only a winner believer, but you have in your relationships with others, kindness, graciousness, generosity. That's just flow is just, it's the result of, well, it's the result of the filling of the Spirit. And we saw that in Galatians 5:22. So point two, Christotes is the part of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, and I took the time to point out, right after macrothumia, the next characteristic was Christotes. So it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. 3, it is a mental attitude of grace. which expresses itself in kindness to others. Mental attitude of grace, which expresses itself in kindness to others. 4, it is another characteristic of impersonal love for all mankind. Impersonal love for all mankind. Now there, we have the noun Christotes. It comes from the verb Christelomai. Christelomai. C-H-R, long E-S-T-E-U-O-M-A-I. That's a 25-center there. Christelomai. Now, this verb is found in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, which says, virtue love is Christelomai. Virtue love is Christelomai, kind, and is not jealous. Virtue love does not brag, and virtue love is not arrogant. Virtue love is Christelomai. Kind. 5, impersonal love manifests itself in kindness to others. Impersonal love manifests itself in kindness to others. 6, this is courtesy. This is thoughtfulness. This is true sensitivity directed toward others. Courtesy, thoughtfulness, and true sensitivity directed toward others. 7, Christotes includes the function of good manners. Christotes includes the function of good manners. 8, Christotes is the virtue of being thoughtful of others. It's the virtue of being thoughtful of others. 9, impersonal love for all manifests itself in grace function toward all mankind. Impersonal love for all manifests itself in grace function toward all mankind. So, the first four characteristics, by means of purity, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, by means of macrothumia, patience, forbearance, and by means of Christotes, kindness, grace function, generosity. Now characteristic number 5, by the Holy Spirit. This is the preposition en plus the dative singular pneuma with hagios. Once again, en plus the dative, dative of means, but this time it's means agency, by the agency of pneuma hagios. Pneuma hagios. You would say pneuma, but anyway, the Greeks say pneuma hagios. P-N-E-U-M-A-H-A-G-I-O-S. Pneuma hagios. By the agency of pneuma hagios. One, pneuma hagios is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. 2, in the church age, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit provides the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And that word filling of the Spirit is plerao. It means to be empowered by God the Holy Spirit in your life, to live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. 3, so God the Holy Spirit is the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, which enables us to advance to spiritual maturity, to fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue love come to completion in your heart. And that's why it's included here in this 9 characteristics of virtue love. So God the Holy Spirit is the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, advance to spiritual maturity, fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 4, the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And 5, the believer who walks by the Spirit will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. The believer who walks by the Spirit will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Now that brings us to characteristic number 6. And this is a great one. We have 2 words here. We have in the King James, it says, by love unfeigned. We have the preposition and plus the dative of agape. Now we know agape is virtue love, but this love is anupakritos. That's the key. Once again, dative of means, by means of agape anupakritos. So, we need to know exactly, this is very, very important. So virtue love now, God is saying through the Apostle Paul, it must be an unhypocritical love, without hypocrisy, genuine virtue love. So that's what we have here. So 1, again, agape is our word for virtue love. Point 2, virtue love is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. 3, it is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attaining spiritual maturity. And 4, virtue love is anupakritos. Looks like that in the Greek, A-N-U-P-O-K-R-I-T-O-S, anupakritos. Great word. It's a compound word made up of the 3 parts here. First of all, we have the alpha privative. The alpha privative negates it's no or not. And then we have hupa, the preposition hupa, which means under. And then we have kretes, which is the word mask. So it's no or not under a mask. So literally it says not speaking from under a mask. Not speaking from under a mask. Now this word comes from Greek drama. Now, in ancient Greece, they had great drama. They built these huge stadiums. People came, but they didn't have binoculars and all this stuff where you go and, you know, see what's going on down the stage. No, you're sitting up in the cheap seats. You can't even hardly tell what's going on down there. So that the people in the cheap seats could know whether this is a sad one, they put on a mask. If it was a happy scene, they put on a mask. And they could sit up in the cheap seat. Oh, yeah, this is happy. Oh, this is sad. They were behind a mask. Now, this also tells you something about actors. The word for actor in the Greek is hypokritēs. You know what that is? Hypocrite. I think that is a great name for an actor. Now, if you're here and you're an actor or an actress, nothing personal. But anyway, I consider 98-99% of actors hypocrites. But and they are not only hypocrites, they are so meinoed in their soul, I can't hardly listen to them. But anyway, now there have been some exceptions that have been fantastic. There are some exceptions that are phenomenal. And that's great. But anyway, back to anupokritēs. So, the Greek word hypokritēs, hypocrite, is the word for actor. And we get our word hypocrite from hypokritēs. Most actors who are really good have a lot of phoniness in them at the same time. They have to be phony to pretend that they are something that they're not. Point five, anupokritēs means without hypocrisy. Unhypocritical. Not phony. Therefore, genuine. Without hypocrisy, unhypocritical, not phony, and therefore, genuine. Six, agape anupokritēs is genuine virtue love. And therefore, it is virtue love without hypocrisy, unhypocritical, not phony. Seven, this is the result of purifying your souls by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God. We have this in 1 Peter 1:22, that excellent verse, which says, because you have purified your souls in the past, with the result that your souls are pure now, they're free from human viewpoint garbage, they're free from satanic policy and evil. And how do you do this? By means of obedience to the absolute truth, the Word of God. Resulting in genuine virtue love for the brethren. That is, a love that is without hypocrisy and not phony. And therefore, love one another eagerly, fervently, consistently, out from the source of the heart. Your heart purified by Bible doctrine. So, point eight, virtue love is without hypocrisy. Virtue love is without hypocrisy. Nine, virtue love is not phony. Virtue love is not phony. Ten, virtue love is a complete and total soul love that is genuine. A complete and total soul love that is genuine. Eleven, this virtue love can only come from a purified heart. A heart that has had the human viewpoint garbage, the satanic policy and evil, all the meino excrement hauled out of it. So this virtue love can only come from a purified heart. 12, that is accomplished only one way, by obedience to the absolute truth of God's Word. That is accomplished only one way, by obedience to the absolute truth of God's Word. 13, the purifying agent of the soul is the Word of God. The Word of God that is learned and believed. When you believe the Word of God, it goes into your heart, hauls out all the garbage. You learn more of the Word of God. The Word of God comes in and hauls out all the garbage. And it keeps doing that until you're purified. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So verse 6 now sounds like this. By means of purity, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, by means of makrothumia, patience, forbearance, by means of Christotes, kindness, graciousness, generosity, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, there's the power. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. By genuine virtue love, without hypocrisy, unhypocritical virtue love. That's verse 6. Now we have three more characteristics in verse 7. Number 7, number 8, number 9, that mark out the winner believer as having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And that's where we'll start next week. This is, again, it's just such a phenomenal passage. I did not want to just, there's a lot of pastors, I can tell you, you go to their church, you listen to them, you're going to get about 12, at least 12 verses, maybe a couple of chapters taught in one night. Hell! I'm not going to... There's so much here. It's so powerful. I just want to make sure you understand exactly what God the Holy Spirit is communicating here. This is so, so important. Yeah, I could come in here and just read through 10, 11, 12 verses and chapter, two chapters, and we could be all done with Corinthians 4 years ago. But that's not me. There's other pastors there. They can do what they think they need to be doing, but I have two men that have been very influential in my life. Both of them pastors. Pastor R.B. Thame at Baraka Church and Pastor Breckel at Bethany Bible Church. Both of them graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. Both of them have the greatest regard for the God-breathed scriptures. And both of them impressed with me and made it clear to me that the most important thing is that you, Dick, Pastor Olson, make sure you prepare for the ministry and that you can exegete exactly what God the Holy Spirit put down there. This is the God-breathed scriptures. Make sure you communicate the God-breathed scriptures, not something that you've, from you, but from God. It's only what God that counts, not what you think it means. And so I love those men. I love both of those pastors. And they are the ones that have made it clear what needs to be done if you're a pastor in the ministry. And I'm slow, and I admit that. But this is so powerful. There's nothing like it in the Word of God. I want to make sure that you can see the grace and power of God in this. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.